folks. You're listening to Chew the Fat with Chef Craig Hartman in beautiful Charlottesville, Virginia, the home of the Charlottesville Radio Group and Seaville Podcast Network. We're part of that, and you're listening through the Seaville Podcast Network tonight. You can find Seaville Podcast at SeavillePodcast.com. And, of course, Chew the Fat. You probably already found it, ChewFat.net. Listen, we're the podcast where you will hear what it takes to be successful in the food and beverage industry. And you'll hear what people have gone through, where they've gotten their inspiration, how they live their lives, what they think, what they feel. That's really what we're looking for. This is the kind of interview where we get to the heart of the matter. We're not looking for on the surface little fun things. We really want you as a listener to understand what's behind the person that is creating your food, your wine, your artisan products. We want you to know where their heart is, and we want you to be able to look at that piece of cheese or that glass of wine or the food on your table as something different than just an inanimate object. We want you to see the heart, the love, and the preparation, and that's why we do Chew the Fat. And tonight, luckily for Chew the Fat, we have a fantastic young chef named Amalia Scatina. She happens to be the chef of Pippin Hill Vineyard and Winery, Farm and Winery, sorry, Pippin Hill Farm and Winery, and probably one of the most beautiful venues in all of Virginia. It's a fantastic place, Southern Charlottesville, a beautiful winery and event space. And so without further ado, Molly, that's what we're going to call her, by the way, folks, Molly. Molly, how you doing?
I'm good.
Can we call you Molly?
Molly's fine.
Okay,
that works.
Good, good. Because I know, you know, some chefs we bring in here, they're a little uptight, and I just want to make sure you're not that kind of person.
No, not uptight at all.
I'm just kidding. So anyway, how was work today? Did you make anything good?
Work was good.
What did you make? Did you make anything, or did you just kind of chill out? I mean, it's that time of the year on a vineyard. Do they make you, like, this time of the year, like, haul around grapes and stuff?
No, not me.
No?
Some of my guys do it, but I usually stay.
You don't have to get in the barrel with your pants rolled up, squishing
it with my feet.
Squishing the grapes with your feet and stuff.
I haven't done that yet. Nope. Not since Italy.
Yeah. Yeah. How does it feel to be a chef at a vineyard?
It's pretty cool. It's different. Never done it before, but it's really fun.
What do you think of, like, do you ever walk outside and just look at the view and kind of the surroundings and go, wow, this is...
I've never seen anything like it out there. It's so beautiful. It's like an infinity pool of landscape.
It is, yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you can just stare at it all day.
Yeah, I thought it was fake when I first went there.
It looks fake. In the pictures,
so
you're like,
beautiful.
This isn't real. There's no way. But it's real, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, just real quick. Pippin Hill is a new winery, probably the newest winery. I'm sure there's a lot cropping up, though, these days.
There are. It's really popular.
For me, I think it's a very significant property when you get up there. You realize, I think, when you drive up, and it's on Batesville Road off of 29 South out of Charlottesville. And when you drive up there and you see this view, you almost can't believe that they picked that location. I'm still in awe of the whole thing.
I don't know how they found it. I mean, it's incredible. It really is.
So does that inspire you, you know, when you're thinking about what kind of things you want to do in the kitchen?
Sure. I mean, you go outside and it's just so beautiful. We have a really cool garden out there. So I like to take time every day and go out there and make sure I, you know, get stuff for the kitchen and check it out. And
I don't know how you feel about this, but I've been in the kitchen for a couple of years. Actually, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been
like... I'm feeling
like...
a little tired. But over the years, I never had a lot of zen moments, you know, because, you know, working in the kitchen sometimes is a little crazy and can be a little stressful. But, you know, when you're at a place, and I'd asked Melissa Close Hart this almost the same question about being the chef at Palladio in Barbersville, that... you get a chance to go out to your garden and you're looking at the view, it's actually, it, I think, does it help you?
Yeah.
I mean, in your day to like de-stress and
it
all
does.
Those kind of things?
I usually go out there, you know, we do a lot of weddings out there. That's probably our biggest thing. And I'll go out there right before the wedding's about to start and pick some herbs and some flowers and get kind of garnishes for the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of, that's kind of my moment to sort of get out of the kitchen, be outside, sort of take it in and get ready for, you know, the hours of craziness that are going to happen. So
yeah.
I do that.
Yeah. Zen moments. It just doesn't happen a lot. I mean, if you were a chef in New York City, you'd walk out the back
into
an alley.
You'd be like, this is going you know, back inside.
Out of the kitchen into the alley.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure there's other places in the world that have the same, but I think it's a nice opportunity, you know, for you to be able to do that. And
I mean, it's peaceful, definitely. I mean, most of the time it's not because you're, you know, stressed and working, but you can find it there for sure.
Yeah. What do you find being at Pippin Hill? And, you know, this is your first, like, executive chef job. What do you find to be kind of the most challenging part of that particular job?
That's
a hard question.
That's a hard
isn't
question.
It? It's not a trick question, okay? I'm just saying, you know, I mean, this is it's a first-time executive chef job. You know, we got a lot of people that listen to Chew the Fat. Some of them are lay people who just love food and are really want to know what it takes. Other
mm-hmm.
people are young chefs. Some people are, you know, are chefs. And they,
right.
You know, they all have a lot in common. But, you know, some people are probably thinking, I wonder how I'm going to do when it's my first chef job. What do you find it most challenging?
I think the hardest part about it for me is it kind of goes beyond the food,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's figuring out how to make it work for you and your team and for the front of the house and have everything flow really well. You don't have anyone to kind of go to anymore. You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
you
sure.
now. So you have to really figure it out and very quickly. And I think that was kind of sort of the, you know, toughest part about it was just, you know, you have to have an answer fast.
That's neat. I love that about the kitchen. I really do. That's one of my favorite things. And then also, you know, your first chef's job. So you have Pippin Hill has a beautiful tasting room, and mm-hmm. you have something that's unique at Pippin Hill, I think, to any other winery in Virginia, in that you have this tasting menu to go along with the wine tasting, like food.
Right.
Tell me about that.
So we, you know, have a full menu, and a lot of people don't get that because it's a winery. They think it's
sure.
a tasting room. You
uh-huh.
come in, maybe you get, you know, a little cheese, or you bring your own food.
Right.
And you know, we're pretty much a restaurant, and all of, you know, we have a full menu that pairs with the wines, and you can have lunch. It's, you know, lasts all day. And so that's really different, you know, from anyone else really that has a winery
sure.
is the amount of food that you can get and,
right.
and you know, how
and,
it works.
And, but the one thing I found interesting was, you know, you have this beautiful wine tasting menu, like, for instance, say, Viognier, and then on the right from that Viognier, there'll be something that you specifically paired
right.
with the wine. That's where I think is a
right.
little unique.
Yeah,
you know?
Normally, you know, as a chef, you write a menu and it's, you know, there's a certain way you write it.
Right.
This, you know, is different. It's what goes with the wine. So, you know, it's really fun.
Do you sit down and just really think about this? Like the, you know, get kind of tasting notes from the wine
mm-hmm.
and then think about how it plays. I mean, how do you then in turn say, well, I think this cheese goes
right.
with, you know, our late harvest wine or
right.
whatever. What is it that you think about when you're doing that?
I think about the wines being involved in the food a lot more than I ever have, as far as really using them in as an ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
And pairing wine, it's just sort of knowing kind of what goes and what I think would really enhance, you know, the flavors of the wine, because that's really what it is, since it's a winery.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
I want to make sure that people come out there for the food, obviously, but that we really can showcase the wine. And, you know, there's nothing better than food to do that with. So,
yeah. So how's the feedback been from people? Have you had people say, oh, hey, chef, the, you know, that particular little appetizer you did with the Cabernet Franc went so well with the wine. Have you gotten that kind
of feedback? We did this wine bloggers kind of, a bunch of wine bloggers came down, and we did this little sort of thing for them. It was about 50 people. And I was really nervous because, you know, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I, you know, who knows if I do.
And even if they don't, they know what they're talking about. Have you ever noticed that with wine people?
Yeah.
Man, those guys can talk some stuff, can't they?
Yeah. So I was nervous, but, you know, they were impressed. And so, you know, I felt good about it.
Yeah, so they didn't go, ah, well, you know,
they were like,
nothing.
This isn't going to work. Some of them said that. They were like, there's no way this will work. And then they had it. And I think it's all about, you know, I think it's about kind of talking, and just the love of food and wine just makes everything, you know, makes everyone happy.
Well, I got to say, I went there with my family, you know, and I was thinking, where can I take them when they come down from Philadelphia area that will really show them Virginia, you know? And the beauty of Virginia and the great wineries that we have. Now, of course, you know, I love Barbersville Vineyards. I'm just a big lover of Barbersville.
Right. Me too.
And, you know, Luca's wines are spectacular. Actually, the Merlot Reserve this year is the first Merlot that I've really embraced in Virginia, to where I thought it could compete with a Merlot from California or Australia. You know, that style. And so, very excited. But I thought in my head that day, where could I go where I could actually sit down? Because if I go to some of the other wineries, I got to go belly up to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get tastes, and then we move to the next taste, and the next taste, and then we're out. But where can I go where we can actually sit down, look at a beautiful view, get some cheese, taste some, have the flight of wines. And you know, of course, it costs something, whereas a lot of the other wineries would be like $5 to have a taste, or some of them are free. But this, you know, you end up buying some food and you have the flight of wine and stuff. It'll cost a little bit. But, you know, for me and being with the family, wanting them to see the beauty of Virginia, it was fantastic. And I noticed when I was there, I wasn't the only one that thought that. That place was packed.
Packed.
With people.
Yeah, people took to it well.
Yeah.
So we did not know that. So it was, you know, I mean, we opened it. There was nothing there. So we didn't know what it was going to be like.
Yeah.
And people have responded to it really well.
So are you glad that you decided to, you know, try your hand at becoming the executive chef?
I am. I am glad.
You don't have, like, chef's remorse?
No.
Because I got to tell you, the other thing, people love the Food Network and they love the Travel Channel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love the Cooking Channel. And, you know, when they see these chefs, you know, a lot of people are enamored by chefs. They say, oh, my God, look at that chef. But when they look at a chef that's actually working at a vineyard, it's kind of a different spiel. All of a sudden, they're like, my God, that's got to be the perfect job. So hopefully you're thankful on a daily basis saying, you know what, this is really something. And I think people, you know, really look up to you now and say, you know, wow, this is a job that, you know, kind of a dream job for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, you know, look, here you are. You are a California girl that ended up moving to Charlottesville, Virginia. You know, you went to St. Anne's Belfield School.
Nice shout out.
Most of your, that's a shout out for STAB. But most of your schoolmates probably, you know, went a whole different path than you.
Right. Much different.
Different, don't you think? And, you know, so, I mean, I know, but most people that are listening that aren't in the food business don't know that the chef job is kind of dirty and nasty and mean and hard and hot and stressful. On TV, it looks very glamorous. And, you know, we get our glamorous times.
Right.
And but there's a lot of hard work that leads up to that. And so you get out of school and you decide, you know, you want to be a chef. How did you come up with that? I mean, where did that come from? What happened? Why weren't you thinking I'm going to go to Yale?
Yeah. Well, you and my parents. I just always wanted to do this. There wasn't really another direction I ever wanted to go.
So you never thought, you know, I'm thinking I will be a polo player.
I never thought that.
Or, you know, an artist, or I want to be a president or the Secretary of State.
No.
Nothing. It's always
never.
Been food.
It's always
so
been food.
Do you have kind of like different aha moments, like when you were a kid? You know, meals like at your parents or places you've traveled to that just made you think, you know, I think this would be great, you know, this work. I mean, do you have something that could identify where this came from?
I don't think that there's a moment where I said I'm going to be a chef forever, but I definitely know that I wanted to be just surrounded by food. I knew that at a very young age, mm-hmm. just from my family and just the way I acted with food. I like to cook. I like to read cookbooks when I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to make food with my dad and his family. You know, we come from an Italian background.
Yeah.
So that was always just a big part of our family, was just cooking and being in a kitchen. And throughout high school, I didn't think about it. You know, I didn't really have jobs in kitchens, so it's not like I started at a young age.
Right.
But I definitely knew that I didn't want to go to college, and I didn't want to be a doctor or really any of those things. And culinary school just made sense for me.
Yeah.
So I, you know, went right away, right after high school.
So you first went to NECI, right, for a semester? Is that true?
Mm-mm.
No?
I didn't. I went to a culinary school in Italy.
So you went straight to Italy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
I went there and I chose it because of being there before.
Sure.
And knowing that that's the kind of food that I really wanted to make at that time.
Right.
So I flew over there. I flew over.
I'm on my way.
I was young and...
You have a little, like, little knapsack. And you're like, come on. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. So... How did you end up finding this particular school? Did you do some like research on the internet?
I did some research. I mean, I looked at the schools in the U.S. and they just didn't feel right for me for some reason.
Yeah.
And when I found this school in Tuscany in Florence, it just sort of clicked and made mm-hmm. sense and it looked fun. So
yeah. Now, was it all in Italian?
It wasn't. The students were from all over.
Right.
So it was, I would say, mostly Americans, but, you know, a lot of them were from, you know, everywhere.
Sure.
But it wasn't in Italian, although all of the chefs were, you know, big, angry, Italian, scary men, and they they didn't want to speak English. So,
yeah.
So, you know, we picked up on it pretty quickly.
Right. So that's neat. I think, look, that's another dream of probably a lot of young culinarians is to mm-hmm. go to Europe and get some, you know, get some kind of experience. How important was that experience to you?
Important. Very. You know, I'll think about it forever for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What do you think was the most important thing? I know there's a lot of important things, but is there anything you can remember or something you just feel from that whole experience that you take away?
That's so hard. There's so many. I mean, it wasn't even about the school. It was about the culture there, just living there.
Yeah.
It was about traveling, you know, with no money and figuring it out and just trying the food on the street and everything that, you know, it was
sure.
great. It was great.
Yeah, I think, you know, being a chef at a vineyard, this is my take, again, just as I'm thinking right now, but I think being a chef at a vineyard and having some experience in a culture that is so intertwined with wine
mm-hmm.
and agriculture,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Italy, has to make a lot of sense, you
it's,
know?
You know, that I mean, they're similar because
yeah.
when you live in Italy, you know, there's all these, you know, you have your big cities and your regions,
sure.
but there's all the, each little town and, you know, is so different. And each person's property has their own grapes, olives, you know, sheep, chickens. They have their own kind of salami. And then you, you know, get on your little scooter and go 5 minutes down the road and it's something different. And Pippin Hill is like that. You know, it's a farm, so it's got, you know, it's a farm growing. So, so you know, it will, you know, have some of those.
You think you'll have your chickens one day out there?
I hope so. Maybe some, maybe some sheep or, you know. Yeah,
but only to look at. You would never eat them, right?
Never.
You heard it right here on Chew the Fat.
Never.
We would never hurt an animal.
No.
We will only cook meat, which we have no clue where that came from. But so that sounds like a really cool experience. I'm actually a little jealous because, you know, I wish that I would have had that chance to do that. I think
it was cool
to have that kind of a thing. So you come back to the U.S. and what'd you do? What was your job?
So the program was 2 years, and you come back after a year for the summer.
Sure.
And I wanted a job. So I heard about Palladio. It was this great restaurant on a vineyard. And, you know, I just thought that there couldn't be anything better. So I went out there and met Melissa, and, you know, she hired me as an intern. So I ended up loving her and loving, you know, the place and everything about it. And so I didn't go back to school for almost, I think, a year and a half.
Right.
Ended up staying way longer than I was supposed to. I just, you know, fell into it. And that was really my first, you know, really serious restaurant job.
Right.
And so, you know, I just took to it.
That was a good spot to pick. I guess, did you think when you were there that, oh, you know, 7 years down the road, I'm going to be a chef at another
No, not at all. I couldn't picture it then. I mean, it all made sense, you know, being in Italy and then working at Palladio. It was all very kind of perfect, so.
Yeah. That's terrible that you had something all very perfect.
I know that.
You know?
It was a nice beginning.
Yeah, I think that's when you met me.
Mm-hmm. It is.
When I came to do the truffle dinner.
I did the truffle dinner, and that's when I first met you. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. And what was I mean to you at all?
I don't think so.
Good. See, I'm glad.
I don't think so. That comes later. That's years later.
Yeah. So working for Melissa Closehart, who's, you know, been nominated for Beard Awards and is doing some really cool food and has spent, you know, many months in Italy.
She's probably
herself.
Been in Italy longer than I have, you know, with my 2 years combined. So
she did something this year that was very upsetting to me because another thing I can be jealous about, but she went truffle hunting, and that is just
so cool.
Man.
So cool.
That's one. I'm going to put that on my bucket list today. Truffle hunting.
There you go.
Actually, I've gone truffle hunting like in my backyard, but never found anything. So.
With your Sharpay.
Yeah, with my Sharpay. Never did find anything.
That's funny.
So you go back and you finish school, and then you come back to U.S., and then what happens?
So I come back. I got a job. I needed a job again. I got a job as a personal chef for a family in the Hamptons, which sounded very glamorous.
It does sound glamorous.
It did. It was not, though. It was not very glamorous. So I was in the Hamptons.
Well, let's go back to this private chef thing.
Okay.
This is a really... I had a young lady last night when I was at the hardware store, and she was talking, you know, whoever was there with her as I was ringing about how, you know, she wants to move to a certain place because she can make all kinds of money as a private chef. So,
right.
And I asked her, I said, well, what do you, what makes you think you can be a private chef? She goes, well, I love to cook and they pay by the hour, you know, it's like $30 an hour or something. I said, well, you know, when you work as a private chef, you don't get paid by the hour. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, you're on call 24 hours a day.
You're making breakfast early, you know, late night snacks.
Yeah.
And it's not the food. You know, you think about it, you're like, oh, I'm going to be this chef and make all this money and I'm just going to live at this, you know, mansion. But you're making, you know, PB&Js and spaghetti. You know, you're not making all this, you know, creative food that you work so hard, you know, to do. So it wasn't for me.
But it was an experience.
But it was an experience.
You had to take something away from that, though. Something. Anything.
I'm just racking my brain right now.
I've had a couple experiences over the years where the thing that I took away was like this, for instance. I learned how not to be the biggest jerk in the world. That's something that, you know, you
right,
can learn
right.
from, and I'm not going to say who I was working for at the time, but
right.
There is a person out there that when I left, I thought if I ever stoop and be as low as that person, then I am happy that I had the experience so that I could see how the devil is. And that's, you know,
that's
good. So you always pull something else. You may have
right.
learned how to like be really fast at changing things, you know?
Right.
You know, kid says, I want PB&J. You start making it. No, I want meatballs and, you know, spaghetti. You know? It's fast, right?
It's quick. Yeah.
Kind of like having to make chili cheese dogs on the fly, right?
I've done that.
Yeah.
I have been
I
there.
Know. I know. So so you were out there on the Hamptons.
Right. So I'm out there. I worked for them for a summer, and that was their summer home. So they lived in Charlottesville. So I came back and I was out at their house, you know, helping them unpack and,
sure,
and
yeah.
you know, whatever. So, and I'm driving home and I'm, you know, thinking to myself, I do not want to do this. You know,
hey, I got just real
okay.
quick, for those of you who are listening, I was talking about my experience, and Amalia was not talking about her experience with the family. So
right.
if you guys are listening to this thing and listening to Molly, I was talking about a whole other experience. She's just saying she didn't want to be a private chef.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. Good call. Let's hope they don't listen.
So anyway, you're up.
Anyway, so I'm driving home, you know, really trying to figure out, you know, what my next move is. And I drove past Keswick Hall.
Right.
And I was, you know, I just sort of drove in there and said, maybe I'll just, you know, throw in an application, see what it's all about. You know, I've heard that, you know, it does well. So that was sort of the end of that. I mean, I was there, I got the job there, and the rest is sort of history. I was there for a long time. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had the nice chance to have you work for me there for,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sous chef at Fawcett's. And you know that our last period of time there is when they got voted best food in North America of any hotel. So congratulations, Molly.
Thank you.
You were part of that. And do you remember we had that meeting, you know, when I first started there, and I said, look, you guys got to believe that we're going to be the best in America. Or if you can't even believe that, then we can't even be the best in Charlottesville. Remember that, Tom?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I even had one of those presentations on
slide
computer.
Show?
Yeah, that. Yeah, we had the whole thing, man. It was hardcore.
That was true.
And I remember everybody looking at me like, shut up. You know, you got to remember, we're talking to chefs, and they're not always the warmest people.
Right.
But you always remember. So you working at Keswick, part of Orient Express, some of the most beautiful hotels in the entire world,
mm-hmm.
the Cipriani, the Villa San Michele, which is just outside of Florence,
mm-hmm.
you know, gosh, the Monasterio Hotel, the list goes on and on.
Right.
Being part of that, for me, was really cool.
Yeah.
And what do you think you took away from that experience? I mean, that was quite a few years. I think you must
yeah.
have been there 5 years.
I was.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hold on to Keswick just like Italy probably. I mean, it will always go with me. You know, I learned a great deal there and I grew there as a chef, as a person. I mean, I went through a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll always remember it well. I was, you know, very proud to work there and be part of that team
yeah.
and it was a good place, definitely.
So let's talk now. We talked about Pippin Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So as a chef, what do you think is, you know, if you're out there talking to like a young person who wants to be a chef, what do you think, or what would you say
mm-hmm.
to a young chef about how would be the best way for them to, you know, work their way up to become a
mm-hmm.
chef? I mean, do you have any cool tidbits for them?
You know, I talked to my brother about this a lot just because he's sort of following in those
sure.
footsteps and is really
in your footsteps.
Oh yeah.
Right, Billy?
That's right. And he's really good. And I think my advice is maybe if I were to do it differently, I would have not held back as far as traveling and working different places.
Right.
I love the places where I worked, and I stayed there for a while, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that if you're a young chef and that's what you want to be, you know, you should go wherever, try
experience
and work,
everything.
You know, somewhere with a famous chef or, you know, just, you know, get out there. You don't, it's not all about just staying in one place for years and years. And I think that that's important.
Mm-hmm. True. I do have to say that when I look at someone's resume, I look for some staying power.
So, right, you know, right.
And you have great staying power. But
right.
What you're saying is, you know, get out there and experience everything you can.
Right.
So that you can have things
just
to draw.
Just take it in.
To
yeah.
draw on.
Definitely.
And so how do you get inspiration now when you're coming up with menus and stuff? What do you do? Are you studying? Are you reading books? What do you do? Well, how do you get inspired? How do you come up with stuff?
You know, I kind of go with, that's such a hard question.
No, you know, I mean, I have.
You
like,
know, I definitely read, you yeah. know, books. I definitely do that. It's. I guess it's cliche. I always, you know, whenever I'm kind of stuck or need help or just want to feel inspired, I'm always, you know, I just open French Laundry, which is, I know everyone says that. But,
yeah,
you know, it just.
Don't feel bad about that because there's only 1 million people who do that.
Right. You know? Right. So yeah. Another thing is, you know, I really like to, I talk to my purveyors a lot.
Yeah.
I like them. They're cool people. And I've, you know, I have a good relationship with some that I, you know, didn't before in the past.
Right.
And they inspire me with their passion for kind of what they're doing. So,
mm-hmm.
so they're a big help.
Yeah. Now you guys are on Bondurant Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that cool, like, botanist. Is that what they call him?
Yeah.
Leaf?
Mm-hmm.
Rittervault? Yeah, have you ever met him? You need to if you haven't. Because I know that Dean has talked to him. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about Dean Andrews, by the way. Dean and Lynn Andrews are the proprietors of Pippin Hill. And you need to get to know him. Leaf Rittervault. Ask Dean. He's in charge of, like, all the Bondurant Farm and keeping
mm-hmm.
it as natural as he can. And he knows, like, where all the mushrooms are and, like, all the
I
cool
have
stuff.
Met him because he brought me a few things.
Yeah.
You know, people are so excited about Pippin Hill because nothing has ever really been built sort of out there.
Right.
So all these farmers come in and bring me beautiful produce. It's amazing. And so that's been really fun.
Yeah.
There's this one really cute woman named Nancy that comes in and brings fresh figs and arugula. And it's absolutely
nobody
amazing.
Brings me that at the barbecue place. Fresh figs and arugula. One barbecue sandwich with arugula. No, that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, on busy days, what's your work? What's your schedule like?
So it gets busy there. You know, we do. It's different than what I'm used to. You know, service starts and it's, you know, 3 hours and then it's over. And this is different. You know,
mm-hmm.
it starts at 11 and it ends at 5 or sometimes at 6.
Yeah.
So it's long
and
people come in and we'll do 300 people on a Saturday. And it's
And then how about
intense.
With the weddings? Like on
And then we'll do a wedding at night for, you know, 200 and some people. So
then you'll be there till what, 11, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Do you get tired? You don't get tired.
I mean,
you're in good shape and everything.
You know how I get after 14 hours.
That's why I'm asking. How you doing after that that time?
I'm better than I used to be, but you know, I struggle at, you know, I know that chefs are supposed to go until dawn, but you know, I struggle with that. 14 hours, man, I am not feeling good.
I remember watching you zone out after 14 hours.
Oh, just awful.
Then,
my like eyeballs hit the floor.
Yeah.
I just can't, I can't get it together. I'm just
Well, you know, people aren't really supposed to work like that many hours. But,
right.
you know, it happens.
Right.
It happens. Our you know, our producer here, Mike Biseglia, with a soft C, he works sometimes like 5 in the morning at the radio station, and he's here at night with us. And
well,
so, you know, he's almost a honorary chef, Mike Biseglia. Honorary chef.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me, actually.
You're an honorary chef, Mike.
Good. Very cool.
Yeah. So what are your plans, I mean, for, like, the future? Do you have plans for the future?
You know,
I mean, being at Pippin Hill is cool, and you're going to be there for quite some time, but you're young. You get a, do you have goals and plans and aspirations? And
I hope so. I should probably think about that a little bit better. You know, this has taken up so much of my, you know, energy that I don't know if I feel like I need a little bit longer to sort of,
you know, sort that out.
Well,
you know, I give you credit also. You know, opening a food business is one of the most grueling things to do. And there are chefs out there, you know, for the big companies, Four Seasons, Starwood, you know, Ritz-Carlton. They have chefs that they just go open hotels because that's what they do. And when the hotel is open, they're gone. You get a vacation, then you go open another hotel. Well, that's what they're good at because it is so grueling. Lots of times the person that opens a place doesn't last because they're so burned out. And you did it, and you did a great job at it. And
thank you.
And here you are. Pippin Hill is it's fantastic. I think that everybody, you know, who's listening, if you're taking a country drive, it's actually not as far out of Charlottesville as it seems. I remember turning on 29 South in about 12, 15 minutes I was there.
Yeah, you know? It's not far at all. I mean, it's right off, you know, it's like 10 minutes down 29 South.
Right.
I live downtown. It takes me 15 minutes to get there. So yeah. I might speed a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah, but I mean,
speed.
For you know, being in the country, being at a farm, having a winery experience, it's fantastic. And then if they take, you know, Batesville Road over and go over to 151, you know, they can go down on the Brew Ridge Trail and do the breweries.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. So
that whole
area. But I'm excited for what you're going to do there in the future. Do you have any kind of, have you and Dean and Lynn talked about any kind of plans for the future there, things you're going to do? Are you still kind of trying to sort out what you're doing now?
I think that, I mean, short term, you know, we just launched our wine club, which is cool, and our cooking class kind of season came out, so
that's going to
be really fun. I'm excited
for
that.
So what are you doing on cooking classes?
The first one's right before Christmas, so it's going to be like holiday kind of cocktail party stuff.
What days are you doing the?
They're the third Wednesday of each month,
okay,
all the way up until April.
And what are you charging for that, do you know?
It's $40. All-inclusive.
And then they come out. They get
they the come out.
Class.
We do, you know, we have fun in the kitchen, and then you sit down and kind of, you know, eat and enjoy what you had and drink some wine, and it's just a good time. 5:30 to 8:30.
$40 inclusive. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good price.
Yeah, that'll be some fun.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you'll sit down and eat and have wine afterwards.
Yeah.
I think it's nice for everybody to talk and relax. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably don't know the Galloping Gourmet because this is way before you were born. But he used to have his little cooking class, and he would sit down, drink a bunch of wine.
Yeah,
and you know,
I think
I
that's
thought,
fun,
man. That I think that's why I wanted to be a chef,
because you can drink
can
and just
drink
make
wine.
Food, right? Drink on the job, right?
Hey. Anyway, Amalia Scatina. Well, look, I've enjoyed having you in here tonight, talking to you.
Thanks.
I'm very proud of, you know, what you've done, because, you know, I've been around with you for quite some time, and you know, I've always believed in what you can do, and I think you've done a killer job down there.
Thank
I think
you.
Lynn and Dean have done an incredible job with the design.
Yeah,
again,
they're pretty incredible.
Talking about that darn view, I wish I wouldn't say it so many times, but when you're in the tasting room windows kind of wrap around the little tasting room at a certain level, and the mountains are right in there as if they were painted in. And, yeah, if I would have built the place, it would have been either like sky you would have seen or dirt. You know, you would I would have missed the whole mountains thing. So
I'm
in awe. So I first of all think everybody should run down there and check out. The wine is really good. The food that you get to taste with the wine, which you don't get anywhere else at any other winery, to be able to sit down and for instance, the charcuterie plate, because you had some like duck prosciutto and a little pate and some salumi, and then you're tasting wine and you're just sitting there, you know, in that beautiful setting. And that's just one thing. Give us a couple things you have on the menu right now.
We've got some Petit Verdot cupcakes, which are very popular. the croque monsieur is very popular with some Virginia ham and this really yummy kind of grape and Merlot jam. You know, the cheeses and the meats are all, you know, local or from, you know, really great artisan farms. So crispy oysters, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, see, who does not want to go taste wine and do that? Mike, I think we ought to go down there. Whew. Okay, well, anyway, folks, you've been listening to Chew the Fat with Chef Craig Hartman. Tonight, again, we've had Molly Scatina from Pippin Hill Farm and Winery. She's got a great background, schooled in Florence, Italy, you know, working at Barbersville and Palladio and the Keswick Hall with yours truly, and now out as the chef at Pippin Hill. Molly, thank you so very much for coming in and chewing the fat with me tonight.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy it? Was
it
fun?
That was fun. It was very fun.
I know that you know, a lot of the guys that listen are going to listen to this one particular one just to find some things to give either a ribbing to you or me. So for you guys, don't be jealous that you have not been on Chew the Fat. And that goes out to Brooks and to Curtis, to Billy. We could keep going on. Anyway,
I love all you guys.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Chew the Fat. Again, we're the podcast where you go to get inspired, find out what it takes, find out what's behind the food that you're tasting, and literally just to have fun, to chew the fat, to relax, to sit back and have a great night. Find us again at chewfat.net is the blog. Go to SeavillePodcast.com and not only see our podcast, but there's a whole bunch of really cool podcasts. You have a run cast on there if you're into running. I think that's pretty cool. I've listened to it before, but I have not run more than a mile cumulatively in the last 10 years. But I'm going to try to start tomorrow morning. So everybody, Chef Craig out. Which means it was like 30 Thanksgivings ago, 30 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice didn't used to live in a restaurant. She used to live in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they used to have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. Seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, found the place was filled with garbage, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the town dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction and headed on toward the town dump. We got there, and there was a sign, a chain across the road, and the sign said, "Closed on Thanksgiving." We had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And so with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset, looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we come to a side road. And off of the side of the side road, there was a 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff, there was another pile of garbage. We decided that one big pile would be better than two little ones. And rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we got a phone call from Officer Obie.
He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie. I cannot tell a lie."